Keyshawn, J. Will, and Max, the podcast. Check the guys out live weekday mornings from 6 to 10 Eastern on ESPN Radio.
Madam Cleo on the show apparently last week. Keyshawn, J. Will, Max is presented by Progressive Insurance. Alan Hahn with Key and Jay. And yes, J. Will said it, and so it is said, and so it will be. Kyrie Irving opting in, not walking away from the $36.5 million with the Nets.
Alan,
what a,
Alan,
what
wait,
a day it was yesterday.
Did you hear that? That was a whisper for somebody. I think it was from Jason Tatum. Oh, Kyrie to Boston. Hey, Kyrie, did you hear that? Oh, somebody from the Clippers just sent me a text. Kyrie to the Clippers, Key. Oh.
Key, it was yesterday was such a roller coaster on our group chat because we had such a great show planned for today with all the different speculation and so many different options and your Lakers still being very much involved and Brian Windhorst telling us that they are prepared, the Nets are prepared to lose not just Kyrie but KD. I mean, we're talking about a show of epic proportions. And then, of course, reality set in. Nothing.
I actually thought he was getting ready to play sound.
You're the sound I needed.
No, when you said Windhorst blah blah blah, I'm thinking you get ready to play the sound. That's my
I addressed you. I said Key. I wanted to hear your voice and have you also because like Jay was the one being reasonable. And yeah. We were trying to have fun with it. You were excited yesterday about the idea of Kyrie joining the Lakers and that the rug was pulled out from under us, and now we've just got to talk about reality today.
He can keep it moving now.
Oh, yeah. Han, I just got to tell you a quick story on the Zoom, since we didn't have the Zoom yesterday, which was a very good call, by the way, by our management. Good call, everyone.
Summer book energy, baby.
Yeah, summer book energy. Let's go all day. And Key and I were the only ones on the Zoom, and he's like, Jay, I think I know. I tried to tell you. I tried to tell you about this Kyrie Irving stuff. I tried to tell you. I said, okay, Key, okay.
Yeah, well, I mean, look. I followed the professionals in my business on the basketball side and kind of tried to listen to them. The Lakers certainly wanted to head in that direction. It was clear that they were the only team that was after Kyrie in the end. Wasn't nothing going to get done. Jay was right in this sense. Jay knows him. I don't know Kyrie. So Jay has a much better understanding of how his brain operates. And, you know, going back in and opting in with the Nets is the best situation. It was either the Lakers or the Nets when you look at the teams that was floated out there as far as I was concerned.
Well, let's go. Let's just go back to Tuesday. Last Tuesday when – we started, or you guys on your show, but all of us in this business started to speculate about Kyrie Irving and what was going to happen. And it's always fun to play this game. What can happen? Where could he go? I mean, I'm the idiot yesterday that was trying to convince Pat Costello and Alan Yates, hey, what if you traded Harden for Kyrie? Wouldn't that just melt the whole world down? Tim Bontemps was like almost walked off the set when I brought that one up, but that's the kind of fun we have. And then there's Jay, who just keeps it level-headed.
There is zero chance that Kyrie Irving plays for another team next year other than the Brooklyn Nets.
Wow.
Zero. Zero. Like, all this is fabricated. All this is, it's made up. To me, this is negotiation tactics. This is, hey, trying to squeeze and get a little bit more money.
All right, so Jay, what led Kyrie to this point? Because there was, at least from all the reporting, the thought of go ahead and find a better deal.
Yeah, go ahead. Kyrie Irving had no leverage in the marketplace, guys. So, I mean, you and I talked about this, Alan Hahn. 95% of the teams that he had listed on his, you know, his list didn't have even cap space for it to even work out. So it was at the Lakers. And then if you're the Nets, are you realistically going to take THT, Austin Reeves, and try to get Russell Westbrook? Like, that's what you're going to do? That's what you're going to get in return for Kyrie Irving?
Sounds good to Key.
Well, it sounds good for the Lakers. It don't sound good if you're the Nets. Like I told everybody on the text chain, I'm like, you guys got to stop eating this cheese. This is social media unveiling the negotiating tactics by Kyrie Irving. Like, all this stuff was built up where at the end of the day, he was trying to secure a long-term deal with the Nets. But there's no way in hell this dude was going to leave $30 million on the table by opting out and signing a mid-level exemption for $6.5 million with the Lakers? Like, there's no way in hell. That's $30 million. Mm-hmm. And it has led me, after this whole thing went down, because I knew this was going to happen. I walked away yesterday saying, wow, okay, here we are. You tell me another team in all of professional sports that has more pressure on them other than the Brooklyn Nets. You have Kyrie Irving, who essentially is on a one-year deal, who then will have free agency next year. You have KD coming off an injury, but also watching Golden State win a world championship for their fourth world championship this past year. And you have Ben Simmons, who has not played basketball for a full year, who has had mental issues dealing with coming back and dealing with the public and the media. You tell me a team with more pressure in all sports than the Brooklyn Nets coming into this season to win a championship. I don't think there is one.
More than them, no. And that's a great question to ask. Let's throw it out there at 888-SAY-ESPN, 888-729-3776. If you can name another team in sports, the four majors in North America, because if you start bringing up teams from all over the world, we're going to, you know, give me college teams. Like, I get it. Let's go with the pro sports. What team? Because the money's involved in this, obviously the contracts and everything else and the you know, just the pressure that is on those that put these teams together. A team in pro sports that has the most pressure to win a title next year. You can also hit us up at Key, Jay, and Max. Go ahead, Key.
No, Jay, you said that Kyrie put the pressure on the Nets because of the extension possibilities. Are the Nets going to sign him to a long-term extension, or are we looking at basically a one-year tryout and then we'll revisit it at the end of the season?
Key, we're on the same page. And I mean, that's the ladder, man. This is a one-year deal. This is how are you going to handle this season? If random stuff comes up, are you going to be available for our team? Our goal is to win a world championship. And if Kyrie Irving is consistent with his efforts, which I think he will be, then I think they'll pay him a long-term deal if they get close. But a lot is dependent upon how it works this year.
So what if 2022 goes according to plan, right? Play the whole season, the whole deal. They sign it to a long-term deal. And then 2023, 2024, there's some stuff that comes up in the world as it does every single day. Now what? I mean, he's a hell of a talent. We'd have loved to have him walk on Venice Beach with no shoes on. But in the end, he probably made the best basketball decision for his career, which is staying with the Brooklyn Nets and finishing a deal along with Kevin Durant and Ben Simmons, because ultimately both of those guys need to be far away from the people that they won championships with, meaning that Kevin Durant needed to be far away from Steph Curry and company, and so did Kyrie away from LeBron James, because if you go back to LeBron James, the narrative would be you couldn't win, right, Jay, without him. And then if Kevin Durant goes somewhere else to a superstar like a Dame Lillard in Portland or whatever the case may be, you could not win without KD and company. So this is probably the best thing for both of them.
How about this, Key and Allen? Normal people keep the world going, but those who dare to be different lead us into tomorrow. That's what Kyrie Irving said to a reporter on his decision to opt in. So here's my thing coming off that, being daring.
So help me understand what he means.
I can't translate that, Key. I don't speak the Kyrie Irving language all the time. But if he had left Kevin Durant, as much as people say, well, LeBron James would have given him the best chance to win the world championship, can you imagine what the image of Kyrie Irving would have been after coming from Cleveland, then going to Boston, how that panned out in Boston, then going with his brother, a guy that they have been linked. Kevin Durant did not say anything out of pocket about Kyrie Irving this whole season, was loyal as hell to Kyrie Irving. If he had left and didn't try to come through for KD in the end, that would have been the biggest story of the entire offseason, y'all. Even if he had partnered with LeBron, but that knife he would have left in Kevin Durant's back would have been the biggest thing
we were talking about. That knife in KD's back isn't as severe as him, to me, going back to LeBron to win a championship, or KD going to a Miami or to a Portland or whatever, Allen, to try and win another championship.
A lot to discuss. And again, that quote that Jay gave you, which, I mean, so many people facepalm when they read it. You know, again, normal people. He always does this whole thing. Normal people keep the world going, but those who dare to be different lead us into tomorrow. See you in the fall. A quote he gave to The Athletic, who had the original story of Kyrie Irving staying with the Nets and daring to be different by making sure he gets $36 million. Keyshawn, J. Will, Max, brought to you by Straight Talk at the $45 Silver Unlimited plan from Straight Talk Wireless. All right, so there's another team that's closing, that has a closing window to win a title. Yesterday, a potential move that could get them closer to that goal. We'll discuss that next on ESPN Radio and ESPN App.
Hi, this is ESPN's Mike Greenberg, and ESPN Bet is ready to take you through all the biggest sports moments this spring. The official sports book of ESPN has exclusive offers and markets from Scott Van Pelt, Stephen A. Smith, and me. From the upcoming draft, the playoff intensity, and finally getting out to the ballpark, there's no better time for sports fans. Sign up today, and new users get $100 in bonus bets for making any sports book bet. Download ESPN Bet today. What a play.
Must be 21 plus and present in select states. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. Terms and conditions apply. See app for details.
Passion, drive, and patience. The formula for winning championships is also what keeps your ride or die alive. eBay Motors has everything you need to maintain your vehicle and level it up to peak performance. Superchargers, roof racks, exhaust kits, LED headlights, and more. Whether you're into speed, power, or style, eBay Motors has you covered. With over 122 million parts for your number one ride or die, you'll always find exactly what you're looking for. And with eBay Guaranteed Fit, your part is guaranteed to fit your ride every time or your money back. Because with eBay Motors, you're burning rubber, not cash. With all the parts you need at the prices you want, it's easy to make your car the MVP and bring home huge wins. Keep your ride or die alive at ebaymotors.com. Eligible items only. Exclusions apply.
Keyshawn, J. Will, and Max, the podcast.
Keyshawn, J. Will, Max, Alan Hahn in with the guys today. Did you guys see, though, from the draft? There's a lot of stuff still, a lot of fallout from the draft. And
fallout.
Kendrick, boy,
that's,
I'll tell
hysterical.
You what, Kendrick Perkins has just been a target of everybody these days, and it's really unfair. But this one had me curious. So the Knicks drafted Trevor Keels from Duke. That made five players from Coach K's team getting drafted. He was a second-round pick, however. And Perk just said on the broadcast that he felt like Keels reminded him of Desmond Bane from the Grizzlies. Bane didn't like it. And they start, like, they have a back and forth on Twitter where Desmond Bane and Perk just, like, as if Desmond Bane was offended by that kind of comp. Jay, obviously, you know Duke very well. You mm-hmm. know Keels well. Was this something that you would be offended by, this comparison?
No, you know, first off, I would disagree with Perk's take. I don't really see Trevor Keels in Desmond Bane at all. He's nowhere close to the defender Desmond Bane is, and he's nowhere close to the outside shooter that Desmond Bane is. Other than their build, that's the only thing that are somewhat similar. But I don't think it's something as, you know, it's an insult to compare. I can see how Bane could be a little bit frustrated by it. I just, the clapping back and forth, man. Like, I feel like that's what Memphis is all about, though. The weird part to
You're
me,
right
though, Alan,
that.
Is mm-hmm. like Perk is so close to all that Memphis stuff. He rode for Memphis. Him and I both rode for Memphis the entire year when everybody else wanted to, you know, criticize them and break them down. So as quickly as you can ride with a team, as quickly as I think the switch can flip as well.
He said, me and Trevor Keels got a similar game, and Perk said, have you watched yourself lately? Stay humble, youngin'. And that's where it really went off the rails.
I mean, I guess, you know, you don't like to be compared to somebody no matter what round they went in, what they, you just kind of, if you're not comparing me to Michael Jordan or Jerry Rice or something like that, it's kind of like, don't compare me to somebody else, you know, that's just a guy. I think that's what happens, you know, with guys. If he would have said, he reminds him of Charles Barkley, the guy would have had an issue at all, right? Or he reminds me of Steph Curry. He would have said, oh, yeah, he'd have took that and ran to the hills.
Well, that means the Desmond Bane wouldn't mind that comparison. What Desmond Bane didn't like is you compared him to a guy
yes.
also taken in the second round, and maybe they don't have the similar games.
And then John Morant always getting involved. I mean, every time
he jumps in too.
Yeah,
yes.
If it's Jaren Jackson, Desmond Bane, Dylan Brooks, John Morant's always going to jump in. He don't care.
Yeah, that's what makes the Grizzlies really an interesting team, obviously, to watch over the next in the next year. But still, maybe that's why we don't do comparisons, guys. But I'll continue to do it.
And I'm told that John Wall plans to sign with the L.A. Clippers after agreeing tonight to a contract buyout with the Houston Rockets.
Anything is better than nothing. Whatever he's able to provide is a bonus for the Clippers.
All right, Keyshawn, J. Will, Max, presented by Progressive Insurance. Alan Hahn in with the guys today. You hear Woj there, and he's going to be very busy, obviously, over these next couple of days. His free agency for the NBA begins Thursday, early evening. Friday, a big day, obviously, where a lot of things will get done. But one thing that is being reported, Tim McMahon had this yesterday, that the Rockets and John Wall have reached a buyout agreement. And remember, his opt-in was $47 million. The buyout that they agreed to was he gave back $6.5 million. How kind of him.
Yeah. That's why I started laughing when I first saw this. I was like, come on, man.
He walked away with $40 million and got signed by a team that's going to contend for a world championship.
And on top of that, he's going to pick up that $6 million, so he can still make a $47 million.
Exactly. He's going to get his money. And that's what Woj then reported shortly after that John Wall planning to sign with the Clippers once he clears waivers. And that's probably that mid-level exception, that 6.5, as we were talking about, that makes up the difference of it. Adding John Wall, we really haven't seen him play now, guys, in a couple of years. The Clippers, if it's the ifs, of course, but we saw Paul George come back. Kawhi Leonard, you know, should be ready to go this year. You add John Wall to that bench for a Clipper team with Tyronn Lue that has obviously been a very competitive team, no matter who has been available to them. Key, I know it pains you to say it, but I'm going to ask you, in L.A., you add John Wall, you've got that team, Kawhi Leonard. Are the Clippers a bigger threat than the Lakers are in the West?
Yeah, I think, you know, it's so interesting. I think that they are. And I'm convinced a number of ways. You know, I ran into a high-level NBA executive the other night, very high level. And he told me in a conversation prior to the John Wall signing, I'm sure he knew that the Clippers were better than the Lakers, and they'll be better than the Lakers for the next couple seasons. Now, I have to believe this high-ranking NBA official because
he has a good
he
eye.
Knows. Mm-hmm. Oh, yeah. Mm-hmm. He knows. He knows with the best of them. So I look at it and I'm like, damn, maybe the Clippers will finally get one.
Yo, I'll go another level on it, Alan, and I'll say it. If they are able to remain healthy, I would give the Clippers a slight edge as the favorites in the Western Conference. I would.
Favorites?
The favorite. I mean, defensively, they would match up with Golden State in a very real way with their wing defenders, with Reggie Jackson, Norman Powell, with Kawhi Leonard, Paul George. Look, people haven't seen Kawhi Leonard in a while, but let's not forget how talented of a player he was. And one of the, you know, people always throw this out, like it goes back to the bubble. Like, well, have you seen Paul George at end-of-game situations and he can't come through and he hits the side of the backboard? Paul George is one of the most gifted players the game of basketball has in the game today. He really is. He is offensively prolific. So with a guy like Ty Lue that can construct the right game plan, and they have all the pieces, health is their biggest component. And you add John Wall, that creates pace and can create shot opportunities for players because of the speed in which he plays. Like I said, if everybody remains healthy, that's the biggest caveat with this team. You know, they're going to be there when it counts, when it's all said and done.
Yeah, Paul George drug him all the way to the finish line basically by himself a year ago. So if they get a healthy John Wall, a healthy Kawhi Leonard, and you know Ty Lue can coach X and O basketball, nice adjustments and everything like that, you know they're going to be right there. Now, I don't know if they'll beat Golden State or whatever the case may be, but they certainly are going to be right at the top with them.
What is John Wall at this point in his career, Jay? What do you see in him? I know, again, what do you see? You haven't seen anything, but we have seen him play a little bit. He really wasn't in the plans with Houston at all, and they knew it. They kept him away from the team. He did want to play, but the last I remember of him, he used to be a blur. I mean, he was. I used to think he was the fastest guy with the basketball in the league, even faster than Westbrook at times because he was so in control with that speed. But with all the injuries and everything else that has happened with him, he physically is not nearly the same player. Can he be effective off the bench for the Clippers?
There's no doubt in my mind that John Wall, with Ty Lue's tutelage, can be a very effective player. And the critical word, Alan, here is pace, man. Like, he increases the pace of the ball game because of his ball handling ability. Mm-hmm. And he may not be a blur like he used to be, but he's still fast.
Yep.
Right? Even him a tad bit slower is still faster than a lot of the league. So creating pace, creating easier transition opportunities, and then once again involved in the pick and roll. And then now think about what you have from a versatility perspective between him and Reggie Jackson. You know, Reggie Jackson's one heck of a ball player too, but they can play off of each other and give each other that rest. So I think it just gives him another blitz offensively and defensively. He's still pretty prone and active as well.
The Clippers, you said, would be the favorites in the West. You're putting them ahead of the Golden State Warriors. Key, are you buying this?
Yeah, I am buying
really?
It.
Really?
I'm buying that they're even. I'm not buying them in front. I'm buying that they're even. The reason I'm not buying in front, because you do have a major piece that we haven't seen in a year and a half in Kawhi Leonard. I understand Klay Thompson came back off of injuries, and we were like, okay. But you saw how Klay sputtered along. I don't know. I haven't seen Kawhi, so I don't know what it is.
I tell you what Kevin Durant did in coming back.
And I think, correct me if I'm wrong, did Paul George, something happened to Paul George at the end of the year?
I don't remember him having.
No.
I feel like something happened to him at the end of the year, but I could be wrong.
But just think about their wing defenders, guys. So you got T-Man, Reggie Jackson, now you got John Wall, Norman Powell. I mean, they have sides.
Yes.
We're not even talking about Paul George and Kawhi. So
no, they're a big team.
They can interchange and switch all that action. I'm just saying, when it's all said and done, man, they are one of the most talented teams. I know we'll talk about Memphis. We'll talk about the Lakers. We'll talk about what Denver can be. We'll talk, obviously, about Golden State. They deserve all the praise in the world. But this team is constructed with a head coach that has championship experience to be there when it's said and done.
Yeah, we've almost forgotten about the Clippers a little bit over the last year, mainly because of those injuries. When Kevin Durant came back, the way he came back from the Achilles and how he just looked the same, that raised the bar for everybody on coming back off an injury, and we expect to see you perform at a high level like Durant did. Klay Thompson showed us, no, it doesn't really work that way. It does take a little time to get the rust off. So for Kawhi Leonard, it's going to be real interesting to see how soon he's ready to go for this team and then what he looks like at the very beginning. So there's a lot more certainly to watch with the Clippers, but a very interesting addition that they made. And as Keith chuckled, and I chuckled too, John Wall not really taking a pay cut to get out of Houston and maybe landing with a contender. It worked out well for him. It's Keyshawn, J. Will, and Max, presented by Progressive Insurance, coming to you live from Seaport District, Pier 17, brought to you by Chase. By the way, what about the other team in L.A., Key's team? Where do they go after making an attempt at Kyrie Irving? Is that still on the table?
This show is sponsored by BetterHelp. How's your social battery right now? We all go through things socially where we don't feel like ourselves, where we don't feel like going out, where we feel drained, or we're not bursting with energy. And when you're not feeling right, that's where BetterHelp can come in. It's helpful for learning positive coping skills, how to set boundaries in so many different ways, for which it empowers you to be the best version of yourself. It isn't just for those who experience major trauma. Therapy is for more than those people, and it's there to help you. If you're thinking of starting therapy, give BetterHelp a try. It's entirely online. It's designed to be convenient, flexible, and suited to your schedule. Just fill out a brief questionnaire to get matched with a licensed therapist, and switch therapists anytime for no additional charge. It's there for you. It's there to help you. Find your social sweet spot with BetterHelp. Visit BetterHelp.com/unsportsmanlike today to get 10% off your first month. That's BetterHelp, HELP.com/unsportsmanlike.
For the ones who get it done, Grainger offers high-quality supplies and solutions for every industry, as well as access to product specialists who have the knowledge and experience to answer your toughest questions. Plus, their commitment to being your safety partner can help you keep your facility safe and your people safer. Call, click Grainger.com, or just stop by. Grainger, for the ones who get it done.
The Keyshawn, J. Will, and Max Podcast.
There is zero chance that Kyrie Irving plays for another team next year other than the Brooklyn Nets. Zero. To me, this is negotiation tactics.
I just thought it was a business decision that he saw what the landscape of this market was and figured the risk of becoming a free agent was just too high.
Keyshawn, J. Will, Max, presented by Progressive Insurance. It's Alan Hahn in with the guys. In for Max, 888-SAY-ESPN, 888-729-3776 is the number. Our question, what team in sports has more pressure to win a title next year?
Ooh, Key, we going to those games next year. Are we going to see it when the Lakers come in town? Ooh, that's going to be a scene.
No, I'm not. You promised me that before. I
No, you weren't here when the Lakers came in
town.
You were
sure
back in
I wasn't.
See, this is what he does, Alan. This is what he does.
I'm so tired of hearing you promise me stuff and never come through.
Oh, lies. They're lying to the American public.
I'm with Key on that. Still waiting for my trip to the Masters.
Evan, SB.
Wow.
You see what I'm saying?
I know.
Yeah, but Jay has this thing about him where he gets so excited, he just gets to talking. It's like, hey, yeah, woo, what? Hey, man, I'm going to buy you a Mercedes.
No, we're gonna- Ain't nobody out here like, Oprah, you get a car. You get a car.
Hey, man, oh, man, we going to go. And
you're the only one with Oprah money.
I'm going to put you on a PJ, and we going to go to the Bahamas. We are when. Like, I'm waiting for those moments.
Man. That's funny.
Brother.
But that sounds a lot like what the Brooklyn Nets were doing with making this move for Kyrie and KD and all the things that are going to happen, and it hasn't happened yet. So we're still waiting on that promise as well. And with that question, Jay, you feel like the Nets have the most pressure to win a title next year, right? Like, that's the team with all they've been through and now Kyrie opting in?
I mean, so all the drama that was circulating around this team last year, how Steve Nash, you know, a guy who has no head coaching experience, is handling this, not having a full or a complete roster for most of his tenure, short tenure with the Nets, to the Ben Simmons drama that came along with them getting him from Philadelphia in the James Harden trade, in which, I mean, Houston has all the Nets picks until 2027. I mean, that's a whole other conversation that started, to Kevin Durant watching Golden State winning a world championship, their fourth, now, you know, two without him, and people saying, well, now it feels like between Andrew Wiggins and Harrison Barnes, you can just plug anybody in there. Like, that conversation circling around that, to the Kyrie Irving situation, watching Boston get to a world championship, and then everything with the pandemic, and he's on a one-year pretty much deal until he hits free agency. Yeah, you tell me what other team in all sports has more pressure on them than the Brooklyn Nets.
I heard that Kevin Durant, Jay, I heard Kevin Durant got mad about somebody talking about Harrison Barnes and him my guy.
Man, and Wiggins,
because I'm just laughing. No, it wasn't. He was talking to me. No, it wasn't. Because if he was responding to me, he would say my name. I don't think he was responding to me. I think he was responding to somebody else because, you know, at the end of the day, I ain't going to say nothing. He know better than me. But they are, Alan Hahn, they are for sure the top team in sports in terms of the pressure that they have to deliver after this season. And then from there, you got other teams like the Yankees, the Lakers, the Green
Cowboys.
Bay Packers, the Cowboys. They all kind of are in there. The Clippers, if the John Wall situation goes through, it's about time that the Clippers get on the hot seat because they continue to keep building, but haven't delivered. But this thing for the New York Nets, though, for the Brooklyn Nets, is huge because they're in New York.
Mm-hmm. Well, they are, but they get covered more nationally than they do locally. It is really amazing, but that's a different story. You do mention the Lakers, though, as a team that you would put on that list of teams that have pressure to win again. And I'm wondering if you feel like the Kyrie situation gave them maybe an option to try to add a piece to that team that they might need. Now that option is, at least for now, gone. Although, of course, as Woj was saying, like, you know, there are still – it's a one-year. He's picking up the option. It doesn't mean he's going to finish the season in Brooklyn. That's another conversation. But where do the Lakers go actually from here now at this point? Is Russell Westbrook now locked in on this roster? I mean, what other moves can they do?
I feel like if they could have got the Kyrie situation done, they would have figured out the Westbrook situation. You know, no one said that Kyrie and Westbrook couldn't be on the same team, because if you thought about it, the $6 million that he would have got in the mid-level exception, then you could carry the 40, whatever it is, with Westbrook. Now you just got to figure out them last little minimum guys. I think that could have still worked. Now Kyrie is out of the mix. Now you got to figure out what to do with Westbrook. Will he buy in to Darwin Ham and Darwin Ham's situation? A lot of people think he will. That's around Darwin Ham, but yet still, it's not over with yet. I mean, you still got you start with the free agency today, and you move on from that standpoint. So you still got a lot of time and room before the season even starts.
I think it starts getting interesting for the Lakers too, Key. I mean, you start, and I said this when Boston lost. I said, hey, if I were Boston, I'm not saying I would do it. I would take a look at Malcolm Brogdon, because I think Brogdon defensively kind of fits the mode of how they play. Also, if Marcus Smart makes questionable decisions down the stretch, is that somebody now you can change that role for Marcus Smart? But I still bring the name Malcolm Brogdon back to the Lakers. Could this work out potentially with a THT, a package deal with him, a draft pick, and Westbrook to Indiana for a guy like Malcolm Brogdon? Because he can give you shooting, he can give you defense. It's another guy that can play off of AD. It's another guy that LeBron can say, hey, look, run the point guard because he can make sound decisions. Gordon Hayward is another one with the Houston Rockets for shooting. Could you figure out a trade package? But more importantly, guys, like, I'm going to say this. For Rob Pelinka, I think he has until All-Star break to try to make this work. There is so much pressure on Rob Pelinka at LeBron James at this stage of his career. Even if you want to put all the responsibility on LeBron James for bringing Russell Westbrook to the table, now to try to fix it and to make the pieces fit, this is where Rob Pelinka has to come in and make magic happen. Is it realistic? Probably not, but we live in an unrealistic world for Rob Pelinka right now.
Yeah, they've already kind of passed the buck, so to speak, on to LeBron James of a disaster year. LeBron and Clutch got that blame. Rob Pelinka now has to clean it up, fix it. Genie, and what Genie was saying throughout the season, throughout the offseason, at the end of the season, about her taking the reins back and doing things the way that they want to do them from a Lakers standpoint in the organization, you certainly can see where they're trying to, but yet and still, because of the Westbrook potential, the money that's due to him, they can't go out there and acquire some of the players that may be available to them if they had the flexibility to do it. So it is showing that they are willing now to do it the way they want to do it and less about the way LeBron James and the individuals that run in his camp wanted to do it.
And on that point, Key, it's something that Dave McMenamin talked about on Freddie and Fitzsimmons when it talks, LeBron and his influence, his impact on everything that was going on in Lakerland last year. I find it to be interesting how he breaks down all the things LeBron said and his influence on this franchise and where they are right now.
And he turned up the volume as the year went on. He puts this tweet out that I hear all the haters, and he puts the tweet out that, hey, we're going to make up for this, Laker Nation, believe me. And then he goes at All-Star Weekend and says he wants to play in Cleveland, and then throws some shade at Rob Pelinka and says Sam Presti's the greatest GM in the game. Like, he made things a more difficult working environment. I think from his vantage point, he thought he was going to turn around and have the last laugh, but it never happened. And so I think you get a more measured approach, really committing to the defensive end of things earlier on than he did last season, and giving Darvin his best.
Did you see it that way, Jay?
I don't understand what the problem was with LeBron James continuing to apply pressure. He's won a world championship 2.5 years ago. This is who he was. And by the way, with the exception of injury, guys, the dude had an MVP-like season. So, and he, by the way, when all this stuff was happening with Russ, he put out a video of Russ playing like, oh, I think they've forgotten. Okay, like, I respect who LeBron James is, and I'm okay with him turning up expectations. The dude is doing incredible things at the age of 36, 37 years old. The expectation should be to win a championship every single year. Did he miss the mark to a degree on Russell Westbrook? Sure he did. So what? LeBron is going to keep coming, and that's what makes him special. So for anybody that wants to throw flack at LeBron James, look at the resume. You can say, oh, well, he's You know, look at what franchises have been since he left. But okay, he's won world championships. And this is what comes along, or this is what happens when you have a seat at the table, when expectations are LeBron James winning a championship every single year. He's going to bring that kind of heat. I respect the hell out of it.
No, there's no question that he deserves a seat at the table. There's no question that he deserves say in everything that you do in an organization, because based on his resume, he earned the right to do those things. I think what's happening in these situations, though, is that, one, he's in L.A., Jay. It's different. Mm-hmm. This is not New York basketball. It's not Cleveland or Miami. It's L.A. And so when you got a long laundry list of the type of players and Hall of Famers and in statues and all of these sort of things, you're now a rental in that situation.
Yep.
And so when you're a rental and you go out and you – essentially become the de facto general manager in most people's eyes in the public, and it doesn't work out, people looking for whatever it is to point that out. And then when they find it and they say, see, you're not as smart as you think you are, and it doesn't go that way, that's where you get all the backlash at, Jay. That's where you're getting it. No one is ever going to say, at least if they're smart enough, never going to say he doesn't deserve the right to do what he needs to do with the franchise and an organization.
I mean, I hear exactly what you're saying, but I guess, you know, a lot of times we live in this, you know, echo chamber where it's we have to be in a fury and be angry about everything so quickly, and we need results 2 weeks ago, months ago, years ago, right? Nobody saw
LeBron James.
I hear you though, Keith, but nobody. Oh, let me finish. Nobody. I watch Russell Westbrook. His time in Houston, nobody expected Russell Westbrook to play the way he played last year. Nobody. Drastic, right? AD, the injuries. Like, we knew that coming into it, that he was injury prone. But to play the last amount of games he's played in the last two seasons, like, that's been way below career average. So I get that people are going to throw zingers and people are going to focus on LeBron James, but if you're looking at it realistically and practically, which we do need to make that lens more applicable to sports at times, like, the dude just won a champion, one out of every 3 years, I'll take that. And by the way, if they can fix the roster to a degree, like, they'll be back in the conversation. There are questions around it, but like, let's not say like
you'll
LeBron
take
James.
That though, Jay. But you know how sports is, man. These people are delusional. You cannot convince people what you see, because they don't see the same thing. They don't care that we won a championship in a bubble. It's like, okay, you won a championship in a bubble. Then you won that championship. You ran off half the team. You bringing in buddies and Westbrooks and Carmelo Anthony's. And
yeah, but if it was injury key, they would have, if they were injured, they would have beaten Phoenix.
Look, I get it. But they, the world that we live in on the outside, they don't see it that way.
Well,
they see LeBron James go at him. Go at LeBron. We got an opportunity to go at LeBron.
I hear you, man. I have a tendency not to listen to the outside world when you're staying focused on a task. And I think that's the biggest thing for the Lakers. Like, continue to focus on what is and how you can fix this roster. There are a lot of moves. We made remarks about Malcolm Brogdon. We talked potentially about going out and getting a guy like Eric Gordon to provide relief shooting from the outside. There are still moves that this team can make, and Darvin Ham. But the pressure does revert back now to, since Jeannie Buss has said, you know what, that's on me. The pressure now reverts to Rob Pelinka. Now Rob Pelinka needs to make moves to get this team back in contention to make the playoffs and have a chance to win a legit championship again in Los Angeles.
It is, I mean, to me, the Lakers are always going to be the center of attention, for mainly because of the Lakers, but also it's because of LeBron James. And when it doesn't work out, we always try to find people to blame.
Yes.
And what you have this year now is – LeBron James getting the blame, because it feels like he's the one that had all the influence on the roster, not Rob Pelinka. But as Jay said, it is Rob Pelinka who probably is the one on the hot seat, though, right, Jay? That's what you're saying.
I mean,
I got that clear.
Yeah, it wasn't just LeBron James. I mean, did we forget how much chaos was going on, Key? I remember when I said before, I didn't think the Lakers was a good job. You know, everybody's like, what do you mean? It's the Lakers. I'm like, yeah, you don't hear a lot of veteran coaches running for the opportunity. Now, I think they got the right guy in Darvin Ham. But the internal stuff going on there between all the cooks in the kitchen, I think one of the most pivotal things that happened for the Lakers organization was when Jeannie Buss came out and said, that's on me. Like, I need to take control of this. And that was a huge step in the right direction about somebody saying, no, you see this flag that I'm waving in the air? It's my flag. And I'm going to start putting my foot down about what expectations are. So now that that's in place, that removes a lot of the drama surrounding this team. And I think that helps them move forward.
All right, well, we shall see. All right, 888-SAY-ESPN, 888-729-3776. We've got some people that want to sound off on this involving the Lakers. So let's go to some calls here. We got Rodney in Georgia. Let's start us off, Rodney.
Rodney, you there? Come on, Rodney in Georgia.
What's up with the calls on your show?
Come on, Rodney.
It's Keyshawn, J. Will, and Max. Alan Hahn in for Max.
The buttons, though.
I am not pushing up. No, it's not me pushing the buttons.
Well, maybe
the only buttons that I push are
never
you
have,
guys.
We never have that problem with the callers calling in when Max is here. So
right.
It may just be
you. Jeez.
That's correct, because Max just sits there and they push buttons for him. Rodney in Georgia, go.
Yes, sir.
What a Rod.
What's happening?
What's up, y'all? First of all, they said that LeBron had a seat at a table. He's at the head of the table, I think.
Who's at the
even
table?
Though he's 37.
Yeah, okay.
But wait, did you hear the whole conversation, or you heard a little bit of it?
Oh, yeah. I watch the whole show every day.
Okay. Awesome. Well, the table is involving all-time greats, not current greats.
Yeah, I think he's at the head of the table.
Okay. Everybody has an opinion.
Jordan's sitting right beside him, though.
Gotcha. Well, the head of the table doesn't have anybody sitting next to them. That's the whole idea of head of the table.
And also, we were talking about a seat at the table in the Lakers front office,
not different.
In the history of basketball.
Mm. Yeah. Oh, okay. All right, Rodney, thank you. Mark in Maryland. Mark.
Yes, sir.
What's happening, Mark?
What up, Mark?
That's how you bring it.
Hey, how you guys doing?
Good, right, brother.
Good. Okay, I think the Lakers has more pressure on them than anybody. Besides the Suns.
Why?
Why? Because if Steph Curry wins another championship, they'll put him with his five. He's one behind Michael Jordan. Mm-hmm. And he's one over LeBron. But Steph's been with the same team just like Michael has. So I think LeBron has that pressure on him, and the Lakers not let that happen.
I don't know.
Well, that's more individual pressure, Jay, for LeBron James. And it wouldn't even matter because, like I said the other day, LeBron is so far out in front.
Agreed.
Just as a, I don't know, ambassador of the game that I don't know if Steph won five or even six, that it would catch LeBron because LeBron's so far out in front. He just, in every statistical category, how many championships he's gone to, just all-stars, playoff. I mean, he's just so far out in front.
Yeah, I'm not.
But
there will be people, Key, that will try to do that.
Absolutely.
That will try to say, well, this is – Steph Curry has more championships than LeBron James. And I'm not a guy that buys into that. I think LeBron James is – Key up there with Michael Jordan, Kareem Abdul-Jabbar. We're comparing for the greatest player to ever play in the game of basketball. I think Steph is moving in that direction, but I would not equate another championship by him surpassing LeBron James at all.
Yeah, I'm one that I love these kind of debates and topics and stuff, guys. But I won't even go to that extreme either. If Steph Curry and the Warriors happen to win another championship, which you could see it happening. Look at that group. They could do it again. If they do it again and now he has five, I wouldn't say, well, now he slides ahead of LeBron. You can't say that. But
there are people, there are people that will argue the five versus the four.
Oh, yeah.
Even though LeBron's been to like 12 or whatever the number is.
But that's not my point. That's not my point. My point was – the idea that LeBron has more pressure on him to win another championship, is that just him putting pressure on himself? I don't think there's – does he feel external pressure to win another championship? Guys, that's got to be an internal pressure, right?
I don't. I think it's a little bit of both because
we still are demanding more out of LeBron James at 37 years old. How can we demand more out of this guy?
Well, the reason 20 years more. The reason you demand more because he's one of the top three greatest basketball players ever, and still playing at a high level in a uniform that only understands championships. So you start there. You start talking about Kareem multiples in Laker uniforms. You start talking about Kobe, Magic. I mean, multiples in that uniform. Now LeBron James comes to L.A. Yeah, it was cool. We got one in the bubble. It's all fine and dandy. But I know you're a Knicks fan, so you would take a half one.
Don't. Why? You know? Completely unnecessary.
There's no need to jab him.
Really?
The expectations is always heightened with LeBron James, and he's a Laker, and Steph Curry got another one on the West Coast. I mean, all of those things is packaged up.
I laugh at that, though, Alan, because, you know, when Michael Jordan was at 38, 39, 40 years old, were those same expectations on him, those same standards.
And Michael Jordan was dropping 39 on heads every night.
I hear you, but I think if those numbers start to skew in a different direction, I wouldn't be like LeBron James is letting the world down at 38, 37 years old.
Jordan wasn't affecting his roster. LeBron is, and that's why he gets all the attention. We continue this conversation next.
Thanks for listening to Keyshawn, J. Will, and Max, the podcast. Check the guys out live weekday mornings from 6 to 10 Eastern on ESPN Radio.